Welcome back to What Makes You Tick. It has been a while, and I am delighted to be back now. We've had a whole change in terms of the brand, and very excited to share that with you all. Recently pushed it out there on social media, and to kick off the new chapter in What Makes You Tick, to kick off the new look and feel, I have a fantastic character, Darren O'Reilly, who is the founder of Wholesup, a protein supplement that basically is designed to... Actually, do you know what? I'm not going to tell that story, Darren. You tell a story. Welcome on board. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me on. It's interesting to see where you went with that.
Yeah, do you know, it was funny because when I, like, as I said to you before we started recording, it's become a staple in our household. So what people might know is that I did a challenge with Darren before Christmas, where the goal was in 10 weeks to lose 10 kgs. I weighed in at like 125 kgs. I was post-rugby. I was still eating the foods that I kind of ate when I was training, and I was putting on all this weight, and it wasn't healthy. And I was like, I turned 40 there in June last year, having a kind of little bit of a midlife crisis. Everything was changing in my life, and I was like, right, I need a focus. I need something to focus on. So I got in touch with you, Darren, and thankfully you joined me on the journey, and man, it was class. It was brilliant.
Yeah, incredible result by yourself. A lot of hard work and a lot of perseverance. You're in with the guys at FFS as well.
Yeah. Like, the lads in FFS are brilliant. I kind of said to them to make me accountable. I put it out in the public to make me accountable. And while I said 10 weeks, in that time was the Rugby World Cup. Was like, I went to the South Africa game and I went to the Scotland game. Then on top of that, then there was a trip to Bermuda with the Irish Classic rugby team for 10 days.
Brilliant.
So like, I didn't live like a monk. Do you know what I mean?
But
still made it happen. But I'd like to thank you for taking me on that journey with you. But
delighted we could be some small part of it. Kind of to give a little intro to our product, basically.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's tell people what Wholesup is all about, because I'll tell you one thing, folks. Once you get stuck into this, I'm a super advocate, and I wouldn't promote something, I wouldn't back something if I didn't really believe in it. And having tried it, my wife loves it. So, and she's like, so anyway, tell the people what Wholesup is and what it's all about.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, and delighted that you guys, the household, is enjoying it. So Wholesup is a whole food supplement. So in a nutshell, what is it? We are a nutritionally complete product. So it's a high in protein, but packed full of superfoods. So there's 31 grams of plant-based protein, there's 13 superfoods, and over 30 vitamins and minerals. So basically an all-in-one. So instead of your morning smoothie where you throw in the spinach and beetroot or cherries and blitz it up, we have all that in there. The reason why we chose some of those novel ingredients is because, for example, the organic cherries, really good for inflammation, beetroot, great for blood flow, and then we know how good broccoli and spinach are for you. But there's a whole host of other ingredients in there. I was lucky that my co-founder, Dr. Brian Carson, he kind of made the formulation. So his parameters were blank sheet of paper and come up with a formulation that was novel, that was actually going to be led by science and make a meaningful impact on people's lives. So when I say that, it's from giving their body exactly what it needs to be at their best on their busiest days. So people can use it as their breakfast or a lunch, or they can use it as a recovery shake and make them feel great after a workout too.
Do you know what? It does that. It does all that. Like, I've had protein all my life, and I've been involved in working with other products or other businesses over the years, and they've been very much whey protein. Then I've had the kind of the, what is it? The is it the pea or whatever, like, based protein. So, and so I was kind of trying it all, right? But then what I loved about this one was, okay, yes, the taste, and I'm not this, I hope this comes across as natural, because this genuinely is my take on it. The taste was really, really good, and you had loads of different flavors, right? We were like I was able to sprinkle it over some cereal if I wanted to, right? I was able to make a couple of pancakes if I wanted to. There was recipes and stuff there, but you had loads of different cereals or flavors, right?
Yeah.
So you had the flavors, and then I didn't feel like bloated. Do you know, like the one
part that
I thought was, the one part that I thought was class was that it does say that it's good for your digestive system, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, like Imi would say the same thing. It was brilliant. It was really good.
Say that. It's one of the most common positive feedbacks we get is how the product makes them feel.
Yeah.
Because like yourself, all the way growing up, I took many, many products. And just basically, they're handed to us. And then you take them, great. But they always made my stomach do cartwheels. So one of the things that we... yeah. And you kind of just put up with it. And then one of the main things we wanted to do when we were making the product was ensure that it was allergen-free. But then additionally, there's no added sugar. With being allergen-free, it means there's no dairy, there's no soy, no gluten. And there's also no GMO in there. So it's a really natural product.
What's GMO?
So genetically modified foods, basically.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. You want to stay away from them. So one of the things we want to do is make it as clean as possible, but then again, also try to make the brand as open as possible. So like there is a couple of shameless plugs in the background that you might see some branding there. But unlike a lot of our competitors, it is quite an open brand. A lot when we were looking at some of the landscape, it felt very masculine or scientific and not that approachable. And one of the things that we wanted to do by our color scheme is just invite people in instead of being nervous. It's sometimes I relate it to, for example, when somebody goes to the gym for the first time and they hear dumbbells clocking off the ground, it's quite an intimidating place. And I think the world of nutrition can be quite intimidating as well, because there's so many offerings and there's so many mistruths. And that's kind of why I needed my co-founder, Dr. Brian, to be involved, because one, he adds credibility, two, he leads with science. And then additionally, what we ended up doing was we did two tests, third-party tests on our product. One of them is in our manufacturer, but then the second one is one called Informed. It's part of the Informed program. So they test our product to ensure that what's in our product is in it to the level we say it is. And then also that make sure that there's nothing on a banned list for athletes who are using it. But it's funny that labeling now in this space can be 20% in or out. And I was...
Hold on, so explain that to me.
If somebody says that there's a product in at a certain level, they can be out by a certain percentage, by up to 20%, which is bonkers. Wow. And that's why it's not as regulated a space as we would like it to be. And this is why we use these third-party tests to ensure that we are saying what we are backing up what we say is in our product.
Unreal. So you're doing extra testing basically.
Yes.
That the others aren't doing.
Aren't doing. No, and like it's not exactly the cheapest thing in the world, but our consumers, they respect it, and it's why we get the return base that we do.
Well, you know yourself, even like you'll pick up something and buy something if you know that there's good value, but it's actually doing what you want it to do. And what's the feedback you're getting? Because like outside of my anecdotal, stuff like you've featured in Men's Health, right?
Yeah,
There's been tons of articles about the product and about the genuinely positive.
Yeah, we've been really lucky. Like it's been received unbelievably well. It's been a roller coaster of a ride, I'll be honest. Like getting voted number one in Men's Health was pretty surreal. It was a serious accolade considering the competitors that we're up against. And we've been kind of trading for just over 18 months, and we shipped over 225,000 meals across the UK and Ireland, which is which is pretty cool. Shipped to another 22 countries around the world. It's been fun. It's been really, really fun. It's all, but like, it's down to product and then team. We've been building like a really strong team. So like we have Brian, who brings the scientific credibility. Then we have Daphne, who joined from a brain care supplement brand, grew down from 25k a month to 280 a month. So she's coming in as head of growth. Then we have Therese, who brings a world of experience from an operations standpoint. Brought a startup in America from zero to 25 million, came back to more traditional food business. So we're bringing in experience so that we can grow this to be as big as we possibly can. But the only way we're going to do that is by setting really strong foundations, and that's through team and product. Product has to be there. We believe it is there. We're bringing out additional products as well in the future. But the team is where we're going to get, where we've got us to here, but it's going to also drive us to the next position as well, which is a really exciting place. But I also think the category is right now as well. People are more interested in their health than they ever have been. They're really conscious about what they're putting into their body. So you see when people pick up our pack, they read the back of the label to make sure that they see the ingredients that they want. They're more educated than ever. And I also just see the category. We deliberately decided to make our product plant-based. The reason for that is there's a big movement to flexitarianism. So people want to live maybe predominantly plant-based life, but then also enjoy eating a steak or fish occasionally when it's at a really good quality. And that's kind of the movement we're noticing and the trends that people are buying into. And that's one of the reasons why we chose Wholesome to be plant-based.
I think you're definitely onto something. I think you've set yourself already apart from the rest of the category because you're doing that extra level of testing, right?
Yeah.
So that's just showing your commitment to being the best, right? Which is really, I think, really, really important. You're getting credited for it publicly from some of the most noteworthy publications and businesses. And on top of that, then you have like your community is obviously growing because if you're doing that type of shipment, like people are coming back. And I said to you on the top of the before we started recording, like we after doing the challenge, because when I set the challenge, Amy kind of jumped on board as well, and we said, right, let's do it together. And let's kind of just eat healthy. And like, it wasn't the sole thing. We did make a couple of changes in our habits, but we started eating cleanly and we started kind of focusing. But it was a staple part of our day, having Wholesome. Now we actually were on the recurring machine, the never ending machine
on the subscription. I love the honesty.
But it's because it works for us, you know, and it fills us and it makes us feel like that we're not slouchy or slumpy in the middle of the afternoons and stuff. But how did you find your way into this world? Because
it's
mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Quick backstory. I played rugby all my life. I was lucky enough to get involved with Leinster, then move across to the UK when Conor O'Shea took over at Harlequins, then played a bit in the English Championship and all that. So it went through that journey. Through probably injury and ability, had to look at getting a real job, as some people like to call it. And at that stage, I moved back to London. I was working in digital transformation, so helping businesses go international. But I think with a lot of athletes at that sort of level, you're starting from the bottom. And you're trying to entry level, so start working long hours. And thankfully, I was progressing very quickly and things were going well. But the first thing that probably was affected was my diet. Even though I thought I was well educated on how to fuel myself for lifestyle and performance. But that kind of all went out the window when the big bad world of the corporate world came in and ended up losing 23 kgs in a relatively fast period of time. I enjoyed kind of being that kind of chunkier, bigger fella. That was kind of my natural nature. And that's when I started looking around and realizing a lot of my peers in the office who would perceive themselves to be healthy and very kind of motivated by going to the gym and working out or living a very active lifestyle were doing the exact same thing I was. was going into the office, having a coffee, maybe have a croissant hanging out of my mouth, running into the office for breakfast. Then at lunchtime, trying to maximize our lunch hours by either going for a walk or going to the gym and then getting back to work. And then we pick up a meal deal, which is cheap, convenient, but nutritionally disastrous. Yeah. And that was kind of when the penny dropped. I was like, okay, how can I solve this problem personally for myself? And that's when I started looking into the category and reading what was going on in the marketplace and got really excited about the opportunity from a business point of view, but then also a personal point of view as well.
Lovely. And was it hard to make that jump? Like,
yeah,
so it's great that it's going well for you now, right? As in, and you can see a future and you can see growth, and no doubt you're making a living for yourself, right? But to make the jump over into the world of entrepreneurial setups, like, how when did you decide to pull the trigger on that?
So it's a really good question. I come from a really entrepreneurial family. So my mum was really entrepreneurial. My dad is an entrepreneur, and my brother. So like, for example, it's small. And like, our first business was selling eggs to the butcher when you're allowed to do that. That was me and my brother and so on. But always, I always say this, there's definitely a serious inquiry. My eldest brother definitely has a ledger. We don't know where our little post office account is. Yeah. And it's always kind of selling things. So whether it be fireworks when you're kind of at that age and all the way up through. So when I always had a want to do it, maybe I didn't have the confidence at the start, if I'm being like completely transparent. But I always had good role models. Like when I looked at my brothers, how they went about things. For example, Stephen has a great, he's kind of a restaurateur, so he's multiple restaurants, one at the moment, which would be very well known, which would be Mad Egg. So he's a number of them around Dublin. And he always has this kind of serial businesses. Then my brother James is in New York, and then he had a collaborative workspace. Then he moved to another business and they IPO'd, so he's up there ringing the bell. So seeing the ability of what they've done and having hard work always driven into us from my parents. So my mum was an interior designer. Then she went into cone and wafer manufacturing. My dad is always working and busy. So that was always there. So that desire to want to do something myself was there, but maybe the confidence wasn't. So when I moved from rugby into the corporate world, I just had the bug of just, I was kind of in sales, then in sales management, then into directorship. And that gave me a lot of confidence that, one, I was able to move quickly, and then two, that I was able to empower a team to do exceptional things. So like, we were top performing sales team for whatever, 4 or 5 years, being able to drive that kind of the convertible skills from a team and from a rugby environment into the corporate world, which I didn't realize at the time were so interchangeable. So from being able to motivate people by setting goals, by being self-disciplined, by being ambitious, aggressively focused on the end outcome. And that's when I kind of decided to take the leap. But I did double job for the first bit, which was challenging. So up extremely early, working on Wholesup, then after work doing that, then trying to do our new product development. And then when decided to take the leap was when I realized the first kind of run we did of our product, how well it was being received, even though we had, like, I bootstrapped a business up until that point.
Okay.
It was when we started seeing the feedback from customers, even at those early days. We got like our first 1,000 customers really quickly. And I was like, okay, there's something in this. And if I'm going to give this the proper attention it needs, I need to be all in.
Well, fair play to you. Cause I know I can attest to what you went through in terms of that double jobbing piece.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting that, I find it interesting that you mightn't have had the confidence, right? And I find it interesting that psychologically, where did that come from? Because Is it because you were transitioning from being a professional rugby player or being in that world of sport into this corporate world? It feels like you want, so you always wanted to do it, but by growing in those sales roles, that's where the confidence came from, was it?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually haven't analyzed it that much, but I'd say it probably was a mixed combination of a few things. So
Okay.
when you come from a sporting environment, there's you're surrounded with very like-minded people who are all driven on outcome-based goals and tasks. And then you realize when you go into the corporate world, some people are just happy to clock in, clock out. Some people have different priorities, completely different priorities, so they're just happy to be there. Others are really driven. And when you start seeing this kind of culture change from team sport to corporate, and then realizing that I was able to harness the best in people, even if they were happy to clock in and clock out, that's when the kind of trigger went, right, I know I can get people driven to go after a sole focus. And I have the drive to try to do something now whilst gaining confidence and a good wage that to be able to take the leap. And that's kind of where it happened, yeah.
What was it like? You gave a kind of like a snippet of the style of lifestyle it was growing up in your household with the brothers and being super ambitious. But like, was that always the case? Was there a sense of competition between the three of you or between you guys,
You know
or was
what?
it a case of was it like more admiration and kind of
Oh, look,
support?
definitely support. Like we're three best friends, and like that's not being like kind of like corny or whatever. It's actually the truth. Like we're thick as thieves together. But there's always kind of like when we were younger, there's always competition. Look, like brothers, siblings, like we run around the garden after each other, like. Try to get wood
With a
up.
stick.
Yeah, literally. Be the youngest, always tried to play with the older lads and try to hang out with them with them and their friends. But no, like the reality is they have been unbelievably encouraging from whether it was sport, whether it was moving into corporate world or also. And I think we have a great balance. And like that was always lucky enough, like our parents were able to really kind of guide that and kind of foster that. I think you're always like not everybody's a profitable environment, but I think it definitely shapes who you end up becoming and what you
Yeah,
do.
I think though if you see certain things that aren't right in an environment, you then when it comes to your opportunity, you have the chance to do it differently. But when you see things working and going well, then there's so much that you can take and learn and then just mold into your own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you were to say that, like if you were to describe the state of play that you're in right now in terms of where Wholesup is now as a business and the potential, and then on top of that, where you are personally and what drives you outside of Wholesup, because entrepreneurs' business can be so consuming that they get to miss the things that are important, right?
So I'll answer the second question in a second because that's probably a longer-winded answer. You are right. There's an awful lot of sacrifice, and you need to have a very good support network around you because it is that. But where we are as a business, we're in a very positive position. There's a lot that's going extremely well. Like it's at times a little bit of kind of we need to take stock of where we're going and how we're strategizing to the next stage. So for example, we're opening a fulfillment center in Rotterdam, which will end up servicing the rest of Europe in a kind of, or most of Europe in a 3-day capacity, which is really big. And we got new product development and we're always looking to bring in skill set, but as with any business, overheads, costs, staff are one of the biggest ones. We're really fortunate, and I kind of said it earlier on, we're looking to build a world-class team, and that's the only way we're going to continue to scale. So at the moment, the business is in a very interesting position. I'm really happy where we are at. Of course, we'd like to be further down the road, and
But you're not resting on any laurels. Like, you're going, like, this is only tip of the iceberg type of stuff.
Big time. Like, our ambition is to be like the global leader in our category in the nutrition complete space. And we're coming up against two particular very big players. Mm. But we're very confident that in our product and our performance to date, that we'll be able to really take them on. And like, publicly saying that is, you put a target on your backs by doing that. But
yeah, like, that's it about accountability, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's part of like, sometimes building in public, we do, like, as you probably, you know, like, we're very transparent in how we're going about what we're doing. But then to your second question, how am I in the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Look, I'm loving this journey, but I'm very lucky that I have a fiance who is extremely supportive, because this is all consuming. It is my everyday. It is my life, basically. I breathe it. It's everything I think about. And that's not all the time the best thing in the world. And like, that's, you have to be very mindful of that. And there's lots of things that I've thankfully started to improve on. And that's part of, again, going back to the team, being able to delegate to people, but then also having hobbies outside of the kind of the office. You need to be able to focus on other things. So like, this year, taking on 4 fitness challenges, 1 a quarter. So this quarter, we did kind of CrossFit Open, which I was fairly poor at, but I still went and did it.
Well done.
Next quarter, doing a triathlon. The quarter after that is a Hyrox. And then the 4th one is TBC. But it's good. I just... personally, I really enjoy having that sort of focus. It's just about mental clarity. Like, I like getting up early, doing a quick workout.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you're in that space. And I think it's really important. Like, no matter what anybody says, when you're on this journey, it is lonely, it is tough, it is challenging. And you need to either surround yourself with people who understand that, or also going through it. So like, there's, like, this startup community is pretty big and very open. So if you're willing to put yourself out and network with the right people, you can actually kind of share war stories and be comfortable being vulnerable, which is really important.
You said there that it's challenging. What has been your biggest challenge to date?
Oh, like, you change your whole lifestyle from, like, for example, from being a director in a business and having a very comfortable salary with good bonuses to taking on all overhead responsibility, to not knowing if the business is going to be successful. You're still, like, we're very lucky that we're 18 months on now, that we're beginning to get to a position where we're planning out the forecast of growth, which is great. But when we first stepped into this arena, it's all finger in the air. You got to back, we believe in the product, but believing in the product is one thing. Believing that you have the best product is one thing, but then getting the consumers to actually try the product and then come back. We're really lucky that we have over double the industry average of returning customers for our product, which is really testament to the guys' work that we've done on the formulation and the product itself.
So if you were to kind of describe the last 18 months in a sentence, like, what comes to mind if you were to kind of explain, put it up on a billboard and you had 3 seconds to fly past it in your car, like, what would it be?
It was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I cut my hair tight for a reason. There's a lot of great hair coming up.
I did the same thing, pal. I'm starting down to the one fade.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, it's a good question. It's just been a roller coaster. Like, it's about trying to take stock of it. And like, thankfully, my partner Philippa, she's really good at, like, just like, remember this. This is a good thing. And trying to actually resonate when things are going really well. And then another thing we're trying to do a bit more as a team is actually photo and diarize things that actually went well, or if we have team days, because with any business, there's ups and downs, there's spinning plates, things will work. But one of our mottos is fail fast, learn and move on. Like, we're happy to fail. Being a digitally native business predominantly, we will learn very quickly by how people behavior is with our content, with our product, if we're doing the right thing. And it's interesting now moving into retail, how you position that as well and how to learn. It's a little bit of a slower learning because it's just more pull and POS and tastings compared to the digital side of the business.
So actually that's interesting because the digital native business, right? You're a nutrition, you're selling a nutritional product, right? But you're a digital native business. So everything happens. So you essentially don't need to leave your home. And you know that there's a business running in the running for you. You spoke in the corporate world that you were all about digital transformation and helping businesses go internationally. So you obviously had the right skill set to bring a business to a certain level of that so it'll work online. Was that always the goal to make it simple to purchase?
Yeah, exactly. Because consumers are way more educated than they ever have been, one of the first things they do when they go into a shop is look at, see what they where they can get it online. Mm. It can be delivered for free or if it's the same price or whatever the case may be. So consumer behavior is all shifting online. It's unfortunately you walk down Oxford Street in London now and you see the types of retail space that is occupying a lot of the stores. Mm. Unfortunately, there's derelict stores, there's kind of poor gifting shops and things like that compared to pre-COVID where it was the busiest street in Europe and some of the highest rents in Europe. So all of that taken into consideration and my own background in digital transformation, we always wanted to launch initially online. Because one, we get to know our customers better. We know their behaviors. We know how they interact with our product. We're able to answer their questions directly. We're also able to give them more education. So there's a science library on our website. In our ingredients section, there's benefits of each of our ingredients broken down individually. And then overall, the product, we're able to share some of the studies we've done by Professor Daniel, who is a third-party professor who tested our product and is able to see the absorption of our product and the anti-inflammatory properties that it presents. So that there, you're able to distill and give to customers who go online a lot easier than in store where at the start. But now we're beginning to get a little bit of brand presence. We want to start offering a retail offering. And we've entered into about, I think it's 40 or 50 stores in Ireland now. So people can go in and physically touch the product as well.
Unreal. So it's I love hearing stories like this. Like one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on, because like we would have played against each other when we were in rugby and then kind of drifted like ships in the night as we grew up and as we kind of things were happening and stuff, you know. But to see, I loved seeing fellas having a cut or people having taken a shot and having a go, because I love the motto, fail fast, learn and move on. And it's, my sister says that in her world is like, fail fast and let's go, like let's move, because we don't have time to be sitting around, we got to keep going. What do you think has been your biggest learning over the last, say, number of years that you wish you would have known sooner?
The team piece. You can't do anything on your own. Literally can't do anything on your own. Employ people who have the skill set and mindset that have done it before. So my skill set's one thing, but then mindset's another. So I believe our team is solely focused on our product. So when you're under the kind of staff count we are, so we're just at nine staff. So everybody's really laser focused in on making our product the best product it can possibly be. But having their experience will get us to the next stage very quickly as well.
Yeah.
So it's all laser focus. And maybe at the start, definitely at the start, I tried to do a lot too much myself. And that probably was a personal trait of mine even in earlier years. So you kind of, you learn and you reflect, and that's kind of how you kind of mature and develop as well.
Do you have that process? Like when you say you learn and reflect, like do you go to a psychologist, or is it a case of you sitting with a mentor, or your dad?
Yeah, so like I definitely brainstorm off a lot off my dad and my brothers. Also have two mentors who are really good, really generous with their time, one industry specific, and then one just life, somebody who I kind of admire and respect, which is really good. And then more recently, trying to kind of do journaling a little bit as well. Just, it's sometimes good. It's not something that I'm religious at,
yeah,
but it's certainly something that trying to get into a little bit more. It's funny, when you get more stressed, it's probably a time I do it more, because you're able to decompartmentalize things a little bit better.
You know, and it's funny because it does take time to do that. Tim Ferriss had the 5 minute journal, or the 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, I heard people talk about it. I used to
do it years ago. Again, I think do you know what I find? I would use it in times of tribulation and worry and kind of like help trying to refocus. You know, like it would be a kind of a gratitude journal. You know, like 5 minutes in the morning. What am I going to do today? And like silly things, like you reflect on the day and what could you have done better. And like at the time, if you were stressed, you give out that somebody cut you across in a car, right? Or if you're driving. And so I got to learn is that start to kind of create this story of the person when they're cutting across you. It's like the poor fella, he's just after getting a phone call, his missus is after whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like you just create that, and then it kind of decompresses you. But I do find that those things, if you can get into the habit of them, they're great. But once you stop, it's hard to get back into it.
Very easy to fall out of it. And the Calm app has a good one in there. So like if you have it, you can just do gratitude or whatever very easily in it. But exactly as you say, if you fall out of the daily ritual of it, it can for a while, and then when you get stressed again, you realize, oh, I need this.
And you talk about your team there in the business, and obviously the business is having all consuming at the moment, but and your team outside of the business, so like your friendship circles and stuff, like, did you realize how important that was going to be in the journey that you decided to go on?
No, but now I do. It's the honest answer. And then you kind of you end up being probably selective of how you spend your time, because for example, having a few pints isn't as common or as much as it was, for example. So when you do spend time or socialize with people, you are kind of selective because you have a certain amount of time. And that's, I think that's probably just a maturity thing as well.
It is,
So you pick people who can enhance things that are kind of, you can have real conversations with and also.
Do you keep your circle tight?
Are you
open to it? Open to welcoming others? Because it's funny. I was about 2 years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to this lad from Scotland, a fellow called Bruce. And you know, you think you're like, I've got all my friends now. I'm sorted. Like I'm late 30s. Like, and it's nice to meet people, but just clicked, and then just became really, really close. And
definitely, I wouldn't say my circle is closed. Definitely not closed for sure.
If you were to talk to your say 12 or 13 year old self, right, and you were to kind of ask, give yourself a little bit of advice, because you haven't hit the you don't know what the world is going to throw at you. You don't know what is around the corner. It's kind of like a fruitless task, but it kind of reminds us of where we're going today, right? And what we should kind of consider today. But if you're going to talk to yourself, what advice would you give yourself, or what direction and advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, interesting question. Probably I'd say back yourself, because until you kind of can back yourself 100% and be self-assured in anything that you're doing, it's very difficult to get where you're going. And it's only more like in the last whatever decade or maybe a bit more, you start realizing that when you back yourself, outcomes, you make outcomes happen.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the advices, even though I was always very confident as a teenager, always kind of one of the, I consider myself more of an extrovert than an introvert. And stuff like that.
Were you confident in public as and behind the scenes, or was this more in public and then self-doubt? Because you were talking about the lack of belief coming out of the rugby world.
Yeah. I don't know. I never really thought about it like that. But yeah, no, I think I'm pretty confident. But I think the problem is with the rugby one, I think you are naturally confident and probably overconfident because you're just amongst kind of your peers.
People. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to learn the formality, not the formalities, but you know what goes on in a changing room definitely doesn't go on in an office, and then you kind of learn all of that sort of behavior. So you start kind of going, okay, right.
At the top of the chat, you talked about Dr. Carson.
Yeah.
How did that relationship develop, and how did you find him?
Yeah, great question. So one, Brian is a thought leader in his space, so really lucky to have him on board. So I reached out to Brian directly because I seen some of his work, and then we had some mutual friends. So when I was looking at exploring this, I really knew from the get-go that I needed the correct skill set. And yeah, with his background and with his education, I knew he'd be a great person to speak with. So we had a coffee and we brainstormed it out. And I knew pretty much from then I wanted him in on the business, but I wasn't kind of trying to like be a little bit coy to feel him out, as they say. And he just sent me a message, it's brilliant. What are the next steps? How do we go? And I just knew from then, I was like, why don't the two of us go after this together and be partners? And it's been one of the best decisions I've made because, like, for example, we were on a call this morning at 8 o'clock, and he's just brilliant. He works in a totally different way to me and a completely different skill set. He is very formulaic in his thinking and very precise in how he measures his responses and how he goes about his business, which is really interesting. That's because that's what he is. He's a scientist, he's a doctor, and that's kind of his approach, and that's just the way, that's how he's been trained almost.
Did you get a good feeling when you first met, as in just outside of his skill set, just the personality?
Yeah.
And because that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we definitely have had like differences. So any business that says they don't have this differences of opinion is going to be lying to you.
Yeah.
But that's when you really start to see the metal of somebody. And it's just, he's what I consider him is a class act of an extremely educated individual who cares, but also wants to drive the business forward. So he's extremely busy as well. He has 3 young kids. And so like he's a lot on his plate as well.
Fair play. Yeah. I think having that respect, the mutual respect for one another, then knowing your lane as well in terms of, listen, I have an idea of something, but I know that you're like, this is your, you have the expertise.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
It's really important. Like, he has to have complete autonomy over the formulation and the direction we go.
Yeah.
We look at, I'd be sending him stuff all the time, about ideas and where we'd like, what we'd say is like kind of a new product development roadmap, and we'd be talking that out. But he can see through a lot of the fluff and just be like, no, this is actually where the science is going. This is where the trend reports are going. This is going to be the next big thing. This is how we're going to get there. Okay. And it's amazing to have somebody like that in your corner. Yeah, he's a great resource and just a good, really all around, really good person.
We're kind of through first quarter of the year. What lies ahead for you personally and professionally in the next remainder of the calendar year?
Hopefully we'll get the marriage across the line. So that's probably a big one for us.
When is that? Is that the December challenge? That quarter four challenge?
Yeah, just like yourself, December challenge. So that's the December challenge. That's the year challenge. So thankfully we're moving that in the right direction. And then that's kind of a personal one. And then, which is obviously a massive life milestone, which we're really excited about. And then for the business, continue to grow and keep focus on our North Star of being the global market leader. We're not going to get there overnight, but if we incrementally improve our business continuously, there's been huge shifts from the start. So like it's from packaging to a new website, to the way we speak and communicate with our customers, entering into retail. And then there's a very exciting new product to be released the second half of this year.
No exclusives here, no?
No exclusives, unfortunately.
If you need me to trial it for you, I'll jump.
You get a few. So we're pumped about it. And just take note and enjoy the good times, because there's going to be loads of ups and downs.
Do you know what? I think it's so vital. Like, if somebody could take a message out of this, is that work hard, but enjoy the good times, because even I do find we dwell as people, especially in sport, you dwell on the losses or the things that aren't going your way far more than actually focusing on the things that are going your way. You know, like I look at somebody and I ask them, like, what's success? And it's all personal, right? Yeah. Like, somebody could be making the business a huge success, but it also could be being part of the moments that are special, right? And looking back in your family that you created and knowing that they're good people, you know, that could be success. So if you were to say what's success in your mindset, how would you describe it?
One, being happy. So like actually physically and mentally happy, which is really important. Surrounded with a family that I'm happy, like that's all part of that one circle of happiness. Of course, I want Wholesup to be the global leader in the nutrition complete space, but that's going to take time. But that's not going to define me and define happiness, but it's going to be a driver to what we want to be and successful. But personally, I think happiness will always be number one, and being surrounded with the right people from socially and from a team perspective. So it's all about that, and harnessing the right sort of people and behaviors around you, which will ultimately lead me to being happy as well.
You mentioned the kind of that you've had different challenges, right? So say somebody's listening to this and they're thinking about doing their own thing, right? What kind of two bits of advice would you give them? And outside of the kind of the talk about yourself, to back yourself and stuff, like kind of crucial things that you felt that if I didn't do that, we wouldn't be probably on the trajectory that we are.
Yeah. So like, well, one of the big ones, and I've kind of been asked this type of question a couple of times lately.
Sugar.
Before you go two-footed or all in, test and learn as much as possible. So for us, we're a food product. So the easy thing for us to do or for any other food business, is to do a Sunday market or Saturday market, where you're actually able to get consumer feedback right away, test, actually get objective feedback, and then you'll be able to decide where you're going. That's first of all. And then two, when you are looking to launch the business, try get neutral people's feedback. Don't ask your friends or your family, unless your family are going to be brutally honest. Yeah. A lot of people like to, it's easy to give self-praise instead of objective, real feedback on the category, the positioning of what you're trying to do, or whatever the case may be. You need to get people who are going to give you very direct feedback. And thankfully, it's something that I think is important in most walks of life, is good direct feedback.
It's hard to take though sometimes, especially when you're so emotionally invested and you believe in it so much, or that you feel that it's a kind of like a reflection of you. How do you take that? Yeah. How do you?
Yeah, just making sure you understand the marketplace, and then you, if somebody has critical feedback, which inevitably people do, not everybody thinks in the same way or has the same vision as you do, and nor should they. So you steal what people say. And then if you know your market or the category and you're able to discuss it in an articulate way, do that. And then if you don't and you don't know the answer, find the answer and then go back to the person and talk to them. Because if they're generous enough to give you advice and critical feedback, even if you don't like it and you don't know the way out of the negative feedback, find the answer and go back to them, talk to them and talk it out. And that's actually been really helpful. Honesty when you don't know the answer is also a really good thing.
Yeah, and being honest about that, saying I don't know, is that's back to your vulnerability piece, isn't it? Like, you don't need to know the answer.
We're really lucky that we have some amazing investors in the business from all sorts of walks of life, from people who've done this type of thing before to other entrepreneurs. But the reason why they're coming on this journey is that we're being open, we're being vulnerable, we're letting them know our challenges, we're letting them know when we get things right, but also when we get things wrong. And that's all part of it. And the people respect it so much more. And they get excited for you. They're rooting for it, but they're seeing the pitfalls and they're seeing the growth, they're seeing the journey. And like, it's really, really important.
So listen, you've been so open and honest throughout this whole conversation, right? So take the next 2 or 3 minutes, whatever it is, to tell people about where they can find you in terms of the whole, so how they can get in touch and what you'd like them to do, because I do think that it's important, and we'll put it all in the show notes.
Yeah, great. Look, if anybody has any questions, first of all, they can reach out to us directly on any of our social channels or by email. We answer rapidly. That's one of the big things, is customer service, because people need to be comfortable and confident in taking the product. If you are looking to try our product, just go to wholesup.com and you'll be able to there's an introductory offer there, a starter pack. So that gives you a free shaker and free shipping. So you're able to try the product. We'll also get what makes you think, 10% code in the show notes as well.
Oh, lovely. Great. Happy days. Happy days.
Which would be great. And give us a follow on any of the social channels, because we are trying to share our journey as much as possible. Like, for example, we were up with an Olympic swimmer yesterday, Jacob Peters, who hopefully will be in the medaling for GB, currently GB butterfly champion. They have their trials in 2 weeks' time. So we had a cool day shooting with him in the pool.
Brilliant.
Swimmers are unbelievable athletes.
Different
level.
And like, but the Irish lad as well is doing an
unbelievable job. He's over in Loughborough. We were in Match yesterday. Yeah, incredible. But yeah, to the product, if anybody has any questions, please reach out. We have a great product. I'm not just saying that. I think the proof is in the pudding with the return customer base. If you're looking for a high protein superfood shake that's nutrition complete, our product is great. We're trying.
Great stuff. Well, listen, on that note, Darren, thank you, pal, for taking the time. It's been a long time coming. Thanks for joining me on my journey as well with Wholesup. It was brilliant. And yeah, this isn't going to be the last time we talk, I'm sure. Hopefully, as the business grows and continues to grow the way it is going, we might jump back on again and have another conversation.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me on. Keep going, whatever you're doing. Loving the pod.